Now, it's a year since more than 1,000 people died in a clothing sweatshop in Rana Plaza in Bangladesh, and made us all aware of the extent to which some people suffer to make our cheap clothes. Since then, leading designers such as Vivienne Westwood have talked about ending the fast fashion habit and making clothes more sustainable, perhaps a couple of good items that will last, just as our mothers and grandmothers have. So how do you feel good about your clothes without spending a fortune? How do you keep them fresh and fashionable? And what is it about some items of clothing that you will want to wear forever? Well, Melanie Rickey is a fashion editor, and Dr. Kate Fletcher is a pioneer in fashion and sustainability. Kate, you've started a movement called Craft of Use. What is it?
Craft of Use is an approach, a way of thinking, a way of doing stuff with your clothes, which extends the satisfaction of them. Many people associate fashion with novelty, a new purchase of a new garment. But I think that there's plenty of opportunity to experience novelty through fashion, not just through buying a new piece, but for extending and using this piece again and again and getting new experiences from it.
So, Melanie, how do you reckon you can stay fashionable without constantly buying things?
I think it's a little bit like changing your mindset about how you get new things and how you update your wardrobe. So if we're generally programmed to think we need to go shopping in order to get something new, in actual fact, if you're more in touch with what was in your wardrobe, you'd probably find that the thing you're looking for may well be there. You may be looking at, oh, animal print tops seem quite popular, maybe I'd like to buy one. But perhaps, you know, there might be one lurking somewhere in your wardrobe. It's just about approaching getting new things in a different way.
Okay, what techniques do you use to remain stylish without buying new?
Well, I have to confess that I love fashion. It's, for me, it's a really central part of who I am. It's a core part of our culture. It allows us as individuals to connect to society. It's a really vital, visceral and even fervent part of who I am as a woman and as an individual. And yet, there's this other part of me that realises that the speed of consumption and the volume of consumption of fashion is really unsustainable in terms of the volume that we are consuming, which leads to numerous problems to do with the production chain, but more than that, a sense of dissatisfaction. So what I try to do when I look at my garments, I try to look to see what I like as a personal style, but also to just ask myself to think a little bit more about what I'm buying and why.
And how do you take care of them, Kate?
I take care of them with a huge amount of love. I do a lot of mending. I brush my clothes. But more than that, I try to extend my mental approach to them by thinking about what they are and what they represent. I think that perhaps we're all stuck in a way of thinking about garments and about fashion more broadly, where we imagine it always about consumption, always about replacing garments frequently. But there's something very radical to imagine that you can experience fashion through old stuff too, and old stuff that's been yours and worn repeatedly again and again.
Melanie, what emotional relationship do you have with items of clothing?
I think everyone has something in their wardrobe that they've had for a very long time that they love and will never let go, even if they could never fit into it again. The thing that I have that I love is a tattered old pair of Levi's shorts that I wore from when I was 15 to when I was 20 every summer, until my father took them off me and said, "You are not wearing those. Not with, you know, showing too much leg." And I keep them in a little box to remind me of all my summers. There are a number of other things I have that I would never wear again that I've recently actually gave away to charity because I thought they should not be there. They should be out with someone else.
And Kate, you've spoken to lots of people about keeping clothes. What sort of things have they said they want to hang on to and why?
There's a huge variety of things that people hang on to. Some are the typical garments, the garments that wear well and the surface of the garment becomes more beautiful over time, perhaps something like denim. But there's loads of other examples of things, the most delicate silk that's worn and tattered, but people keep on wearing them. So one of the things that we realise is that the garments that last aren't because they're made of robust materials, but it's because that there's something about that garment and in the person's mindset that makes them want to keep that garment and use it again and again.
Well, we did ask listeners to tell us what items they would always keep.
I have a fake fur bought in 1985 as a comfort blanket when divorcing. Dressed up one night for my first post-divorce date and feeling glamorous, my daughter commented, "Mum, you look just like a little womble." It killed my confidence. But this coat is light, warm, strokeable, and after washing looks like new. I hope I am as successful in fighting old age as my coat, even if I look more like a womble than ever.
In 1971, I fell in love with a beautiful peach Ozzy Clark crepe maxi dress, edged with matching slipper satin and a ruffle down the front. I just had to try it on. The shop assistant took pity on me and kindly let me pay by weekly instalments. It took 4 weeks before I could collect it. My excitement was immeasurable. Although it hasn't fitted me for several years, I haven't been able to part with it. I still remember the reaction of my gran and aged aunt and that of my now husband when I walked down the stairs wearing it for the first time. "You look like a princess," my gran exclaimed. For the only time in my life, I actually felt like one.
When I was 7 years old, I presented a bouquet of flowers to the Queen Mother at the Royal Festival Hall. I wore a dark blue velvet dress, white tights and black patent shoes. I'm now approaching 50 and have kept that dress despite moving from Bromley to Sussex to London, then to Perth in Australia, Sydney, Boston in USA, and finally settling in Austria to marry a lederhosen maker. My dress still hangs in my cupboard, and in fact, my 8-year-old daughter, Emily, wore it on Christmas Day 2013. It fitted her perfectly, although perhaps a little short, as was the fashion in 1972.
Mine is an utterly fabulous little black dress I bought for £40 in 2009 from a retro shop. It's 40 years old, Pierre Cardin label, fine wool, fully lined, incredibly cut and so comfortable. It looks fantastic, but more important, I always feel terrific when I wear it. When I had a mastectomy and complete breast rearrangement in November 2009, one of my biggest concerns, was that this dress would no longer fit me. But miraculously, it still does.
Kate, what's the psychology behind keeping stuff that we know will never, ever fit us again?
Well, I think people do it perhaps because they're remembering who they were in the past, but maybe they're also hoping that they will be somebody different in the future. And that's one of the things that fashion is often used for, to project a future perhaps more attractive or more outrageous view of ourselves to the world. But many of the stories there, they speak also about a huge amount of personal satisfaction and contentment around garments. And they also show, I think, how stories, how tales, how the language of using things again and again, and those memories can really infuse fashion with perhaps a different set of ideas compared to those of just the fashion magazines trying to get you to buy another one.
Well, Dr. Kate Fletcher, thank you very much indeed. I'm Melanie Rickey, and do stay with us, Melanie, because we'll talk again later. Still to come in today's programme, Jean-Paul Gaultier goes on display. How did the Breton stripe become a fashion?